Today on Real Radio.
Wherever Jesus went, he was a witness. He was a witness among his friends. He wasn't somebody else. Am I the same person right now behind this pulpit as I am at Target? Who are you? Are you somebody different at church and somebody different in the community? What about your business? What about my business? Going around town, what do we do? Are we somebody different because we think, well, you know what, that was my Christian hat, but I got to go to work today and I got to put on this hat? That's hypocrisy.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I? And we're in a mini-series called Why Should I Be a Witness? If you were with us last week, it should be obvious by now that you and I are called to share and demonstrate our faith with others. And so that's why we've been exploring certain areas of this topic, like what does it mean to be a witness, and what are the different ways I can share Christ Jesus and His gospel? Let's continue now with Why Should I Be a Witness? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
When the world speaks well of us in all contexts, they're just, wonderful. You know what? That means we're not being salty. It means we're compromising. And that flies in the face of our humanity. By nature, we want everyone to speak well of us. Jesus says no. There's two worlds in collision. One is black, one is white. One is dark, one is light. One is evil, and one is good. There are demons, and there are angels. There is Satan, and there is the Lord. And it's a world in collision. And you're either in one world or the other. You can't straddle those two worlds. You can't put a rope onto each one as they were globes, and you've got them linked, and you're standing with one foot on one globe and one foot on the other globe, and you're riding this cosmic ball or these cosmic orbs through space, and you're trying to manage both. Well, how close can I live? Be a Christian, but how close can I live to the edge? If the Holy Spirit's in you, the Holy Spirit says, get as far away from the edge as possible. You can slip and fall over. But either a very, very immature or backslidden Christian will kind of flirt with that edge. But the world embraces the world that it is, and it complements and it endorses its own world. And Jesus says, I'm of a whole nother world. His witness, it's in the earth, but it's not of the earth. Wherever Jesus went, he was a witness. He was a witness among his friends. He wasn't somebody else. Am I the same person right now behind this pulpit as I am at Target? Who are you? Are you somebody different at church and somebody different in the community? What about your business? What about my business? Going around town, what do we do? Are we somebody different because we think, well, you know what, that was my Christian hat, but I got to go to work today and I got to put on this hat? That's hypocrisy. We're flirting with the world to try to gain approval of the world. You'll never have it. And it's an offense to Christ. Jesus was a witness to his friends. And sometimes he told them things like, get thee behind me, right? He told them things like when they saw everybody hungry and they said, Jesus, they're very hungry, send them away. What did he say to them? You feed them. That's how he spoke to his friends. He not only loved them, they knew that they were loved, but he also corrected them. He rebuked them, exhorted them, encouraged them. You can do that. Listen, as a friend, do you have a friend who loves you? If you have a friend who loves you, do you know what they do? They encourage you. Oh, yes, give me encouragement. They exhort you. Yeah, sometimes I need that little to get going. and they rebuke you. What? They rebuke you. They say things like, hey, come on, Fred. You know what? Don't talk like that. That language is not befitting a brother, man. Come on, let's power on through God. But let's leave that stuff behind. That language is not of the world we're going to. Oh, okay, thanks, man. Do you have a friend like that? Do you have a friend who can say, you know what? What you're doing right now is goofy. Explain this to me. What are you thinking? If you don't have a friend like that, there's a couple thousand friends around here that can be just like that to you. I need friends in the faith. And Jesus, where was he a witness? Well, he was a witness wherever his friends were at. Jesus was a witness to his followers, all those who decided to follow him. He gave them example. And then Jesus, of course, was a witness to all of his foes, all of his enemies. It's often been said that you can judge a man's character by his enemies. What kind of enemies do you have? Are they a bunch of whining, sniveling, gossiping bums? Then you're probably pretty right on witness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate? What was the good witness that Jesus witnessed before Pontius Pilate? That he gave glory and honor to God his Father. He was submissive to the will of his Father. And the Bible says that Jesus was a great witness even before Pontius Pilate. What an amazing thing. Third point this morning in our study is this. Number three, why should we be a witness as a church? Because that's what the Father is. We're going to pick up the pace now, so get your pen ready. Because that's what the Father is. The Father's a witness. Not only Jesus, but the Father is a witness. How so? The Father is a witness to the Bible. The Father, he is a confirmer, a promoter of the Bible. The Father confirms the accuracy of the Bible itself. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel, says the Bible, of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end of the world will come. The Bible will never fail. This book, the Bible, is without error. It is God's word. It will not fail. And with each passing year, this scripture is confirmed before the unbelieving world of God's absolute accuracy and endorsement of the Bible. Archaeologically, linguistically, scientifically, religiously. And above all that thing, all that stuff personally, as powerful as all those things are, to me, the greatest science of all, and I don't know if there's a name for it, but it's the science of God just knowing exactly what you and I need and who we are. This book divides between the thoughts and the intents of our heart and exposes the very person of who I am wide open. And this book ministers to me the answers for life. Yes, God proves it by prophetic fulfillment. And yes, God proves it by science. But you know what? If all those things were taken away, I know the Bible is God's unerring word by what it's done in my life and what it does to me. The amazing thing is I don't go back to it enough to receive that nectar or that strength or that feeding as often as I should. I get going. I get moving. Things happen in my day, I should just pull over and take a couple of chapters into my veins. You know what I'm saying? Changes everything. The Word of God, it's life to us. The Father is a witness concerning the accuracy of the Bible. You and I should be a witness, right? Concerning the accuracy of the Bible. We should stand with boldness to proclaim, and you do, the accuracy of the Bible. Confirming the accuracy of Scripture. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, and by the way, the Greek implies, you go therefore because I have all authority. That's what I'm sending you out in. Go. It's the command of a general. All right, troops, I'm going to command you now to go to this point. Go. And you know what that means? That the general supplies all the air cover, all the ground support, all the fuel, all the technology to go. Desert Storm and Operation, what was this latest thing called? Enduring Freedom? Iraqi Freedom? Same is true in the wars of these last 10 years. For every soldier or every airman or every sailor that went to battle, 33 military or contract individuals you could count or is behind every soldier that went or every pilot that flew. 33 support personnel behind each man that is employed or each woman employed at war. That's support. The United States government and the people of America standing behind one soldier saying, we give you the best equipment, we give you the best intelligence, we give you the best that's available, we're behind you, go. And Jesus says, I have all authority in all of the earth and all of the universe. Go, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, he said. Man, I can be a witness. I don't have to go to Stuttgart. You get to. I don't have to go to Cabo. You get to. I don't have to go to Norco or El Segundo. Can you imagine? But we get to, because Jesus says, go ye therefore. He's a commander saying, listen, go. I've given you all that's necessary. There is a kingdom, a nation. There is a God behind you, and he sends you out. How can we do that? Because of the Bible. Also this, the Father is a witness to the prophets. By this, I mean the Old Testament prophets. Particularly in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1, 21 says, for prophecy, that is the revelation of God's word, never came by the will of man. Oh, jot this down when somebody attacks the validity of the Bible. Give them 2 Peter 1, 21. Prophecy, that is the word of God, never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were possessed. The Holy Spirit breathed through them. There were things that the authors of the Bible were writing that they didn't even understand. And now we know thousands of millennia later, here we are, or millennia later, here we are, and we know that from prophetic fulfillment, the Word of God. It's fantastic. God confirmed the witness through the prophets of old. Keep that in mind. Thirdly, the Father is a witness to Jesus Christ himself. The Father confirmed the life and the ministry of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jot these verses down. You'll need them for the next time someone visits your door. Jesus is Lord. Write it down. Jesus is Lord. The Bible says there's only one Lord. Well, the Father calls himself Lord. The Holy Spirit's Lord. And the Bible says Jesus is Lord. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, the spiritual realm of darkness, demonic powers. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Jesus is Savior. The witness of the Father is to promote and to exalt his Son. The psalmist wrote, King David wrote in prophetic knowledge, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Father spoke to the Son in eternity and said, sit here and I will make all those who are against you to someday become the very platform for you to rest your foot on. The Lord said to my Lord. What a great statement. Jesus is Savior. Titus 2:13, that we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who's God? Jesus Christ. Who's Savior? Jesus Christ. Who says? Titus 2:13. The Bible. Jesus is Redeemer. Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. That means God is Redeemer. But who is the Redeemer? Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is our Redeemer, for he has redeemed us from the curse of the law and of all sin. Jesus is Redeemer. No wonder why the Father gives witness to the Son. The Bible says that Jesus is Almighty. Somebody's going to say at your door, well, there's a couple of Almighties. You can't have a couple of Almighties. Someone's got to be Almighty and someone's got to be Mighty, but you can't be Almighty. Almighty and Mighty. There can be mighty, based upon whose judgment, I don't know, but there can be mighty things. Nuclear bomb's pretty mighty. But there's only one Almighty according to Scripture. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ, for this is the true God and eternal life. The true God, the Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. There is no God but God only. Number four in our study, point number four, why should we be a witness? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a witness. How so? Number one, to sin. The Holy Spirit is a witness to sin. Now listen to this. This kind of blows my mind. The Holy Spirit is an eyewitness to all sin and all wickedness at all times. You need to think about this for a minute. Aren't you and I grieved by the evil and wickedness that we see in the world? I mean, aren't you sick of it? Don't you throw your hands up sometimes in disgust and just, if you could do something, you would do it? Evil, evil, evil. Don't you hate it when some evil comes to you or to your husband or to your wife or to your children? Don't you hate it? You know who hates it infinitely more? The Holy Spirit. Jesus lived 33 and a quarter years on this planet. He ascended into heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and filled and came upon all the believers. And the Holy Spirit is all in all the earth, convicting the world of sin right now, everywhere in the world. He is an eyewitness to all evil. Lacey Peterson, the Holy Spirit watched the whole thing, knows every detail, knows even the intent of the heart of whoever her murderer was. We'll find out, I guess, right? What about other horrific evils? The Holy Spirit knows. I tell you, the control of God is amazing. With all he knows and with all he sees, shouldn't he just pull the plug and let this thing die? He doesn't. Isn't he amazing? His goodness? What evil have I done? What evil have you done? Did he pull the plug on us? The Bible says that he's abounding in mercy. Revelation 5, 6 says, John speaking, I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Here in your Bible, in Revelation 5, it talks about the seven spirits. And by the way, it says seven. And then in your Bible, it's capital S, Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. Well, are there seven Holy Spirits? No, there's one Holy Spirit. The answer, though, to the sevenfold Spirit of God means this, that he knows all. He sees all. The number seven is the number of absolute to God, perfection. Seven. You find the answer to Revelation 5, 6 in Isaiah 11, 2. What are the seven spirits of God? Isaiah 11, verse 2. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that is Christ. Number two, the Spirit of wisdom. Number three, the Spirit of understanding. Number four, the Spirit of counsel. Number five, the Spirit of might. Number six, the Spirit of the knowledge. Number seven, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, culminating or personified in Jesus Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called Why Should I Be a Witness? Now, we're calling this a study series because there's more than one part, and we're presenting them all here on the air, which also means that we'll have more of Why Should I Be a Witness on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. It's all part of the series called Why Should I, which is available all on one MP3 CD, and you can find out how to get your own copy by visiting www.realradioactive.org. Now, while you're there, you can click on the button that takes you to where you can learn more about the Southern California Prophecy Conference. The Southern California Prophecy Conference takes place January 11th, 12th, and the 13th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, Pastor Jack, we've had prophecy conferences before.
Yep.
Why another one?
Mike, this conference is going to be really different in the sense that as we address the prophetic issues of our day, I think Islam has caught a lot of people off guard.
Yeah.
Though most of the speakers that we have are experts on Islam, not all of them will be speaking on Islam. But what the church needs to realize is historically, Mike, ever since about the 7th, 8th century, the greatest opponent to Christianity has been Islam.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of Western believers, you know, they haven't even thought about that. But it's true historically. The exciting part about this conference is going to be the fact that it picks up where a lot of our earlier conferences used to be focused on in that sense of the Cold War. But here's the interesting thing is, you know, we went through the Cold War era and we heard Ronald Reagan say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And we all almost breathe the collective sigh of relief that, you know, boy, the future looks great, doesn't it? Peaceful and exciting and prosperous. And yet, little did we know that coming out of nowhere and coming fast out of nowhere is now this threat of Islam. In fact, Mike, I would argue today that it's more dangerous now than it ever has been. We've got rogue nations under the Islamic banner believing the Quran and following the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad. They're very passionate about that. We have the president of Iran believing that Allah has called him to destroy and annihilate Israel.
Yeah.
And the United States. He announced that at the United Nations almost 3 years ago. And so, praise the Lord, though, it's all under God's watchful eye. Nothing truly is out of control. But as believers, this particular conference, as anyone who will look at the website will see the line of speakers, this is different, very different, in that it of course takes into account that we believe in the end time teaching of the Bible, the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the second coming when Christ returns, all of these things. But specifically, Mike, it deals with the threat that's at hand right now before us as believers.
Okay, this is a ticketed event. Can you tell us how many tickets are being sold? What is the limited number and why?
Get on the computer today and respond because it's really filling up quickly. We'll be able to get 3,000, maybe 3,100 people into the sanctuary, and that's all we can handle. And so avail yourself of this opportunity. $25 gets you in for the Friday, the Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. And listen, don't delay. It's filling up quickly. So get to your computer now.
Yeah, then type in SoCalProphecyConference.com. Pretty easy to remember. www.SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.